Diane Johnson is a novelist, biographer, screenwriter, and essayist. Her last book was a biography of mystery writer Dashiell Hammett. She co-wrote the screenplay for the movie The Shining, and her essays have appeared in the New York Times and the New York Review of Books. Persian Nights is her first novel in 8 years. The story is set in Iran, just a few months before the downfall of the Shah. The heroine, Chloe Fowler, is an American who comes to Iran unprepared for the great drama that is about to unfold. Her experiences loosely parallel Johnson's own.
The circumstances that took me to Iran were much like those that happened to Chloe, who's the heroine of the book. That is, my doctor husband was to be a visiting professor at the medical school in Shiraz, which was part of a program at that period between the University of California and this Iranian medical school. So we found ourselves there in the role of helper teachers and so on. I was just tagging along.
The heroine in your novel remains politically oblivious most of the time that she's in Iran. She's occupied with an affair that she's having, with making her apartment look nice. Did you witness that kind of detachment a lot? Did you find that a lot of Americans in Iran were slightly oblivious to the revolution that was about to happen in the country?
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that interested me, again, in retrospect, and because I'm sure at the time I was as interested as Chloe in trying to guess what the women felt like wrapped in their shawls or going to the bazaar, seeing what the life of the people was like. You didn't really sense the imminence of the revolution, or rather, you thought that if there was going to be an uprising, the Shah would just kill everyone. You know, that there were these visible troops and heavy military presence, and you assumed that the people either would not uprise because they themselves could see that they would be shot, or that it would end badly for them if they did. And it doesn't really affect you day to day. I think that's why people are always getting caught in revolutions. You still have to go to the store and somehow, like all those people in Beirut, you know, and you wonder how they could possibly live. But in fact, they have to go to the store and buy their oranges and their cornmeal. And so did you in Iran at that period. So that's what you did. It was funny.
Several of your novels show your interest in the sudden intrusion of violence into a life that had been protected from violence. In this case, it's the violence of the Shah's regime and the developing revolution. Why are you so interested in that intrusion of violence into a life?
Well, I think because as Americans, except poor Americans, we normally don't have violence in our lives. Or if we do, it runs counter to what we expect of life, even though violence is becoming an increasing reality in the lives of all Americans. We still somehow have the expectation that it won't intrude upon sort of calm, middle-class American life.
A few years ago, you wrote a biography of Dashiell Hammett. Is your interest in danger or violence at all connected with your interest in his work?
No, I don't think so at all. My interest in him was really in his life as a style, in his particularly American style, and that sort of literary style of the 30s, and in the detective story as a genre and in its development. The whole Hollywood connection in his life, which I thought was interesting.
In the New York Times, you once described Wuthering Heights by Charlotte Bronte as one of the books you would have most liked to have written yourself. And I'm interested, you know, that you're interested in Hammett, who's such the quintessential American male writer, and in Bronte, who's such a quintessential female writer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I was wondering if you were interested in the male and female voices in literature, and if you find them to be very different.
Well, I am interested in that. I don't find them to be very different. Or, well, the voice isn't different. The subjects are different. I'm just in the process of writing a review for the New York Times of a new biography of Hemingway, and it was interesting that when they called me up and said, you know, do you feel like doing this, they said, we haven't had a woman write about Hemingway before. And that struck me as true. Maybe that's what really charmed me and gave me the idea that it would be fun to do. When you think about it, women never write about Hemingway. I think there is a kind of segregation in American letters which can be consciously overcome, but it isn't apt to be unless people think about it. Now, I notice that a lot of the reviews of Persian Nights have been by women. Not all of them, by any means, but because I think book review editors, you know, send books by women to review, that this is a completely unconscious thing, which they can break the habit of, but that it preserves a kind of segregation which encourages us to think that the voices are different when they're not, really.
In a way, I think what you've done in Persian Nights is to subvert the historical romance genre. And I don't know if you'd see that as being true at all, but let me explain what I mean. On one level, we have a heroine who journeys to an exotic land without her husband, has an affair against the backdrop of developing revolution. But on the other hand, we realize how trivial in some ways her affair is compared to what's happening politically. And she feels herself to be totally lacking in mystery and flamboyance. Were you doing that at all? Do you feel you were subverting that genre?
Yeah. Well, I hoped to take the best parts of it. And then, to show the very thing that you just said. I mean, you're absolutely right. To show how trivial maybe her concerns were, her expectations for excitement, compared to the historical drama that she wasn't even prepared to understand was happening or to notice.
Persian Nights is your first novel in 8 years. Now, I know you wrote the Hammett book in between and you did a lot of essay writing in between, but did you ever go through that fear that a lot of writers have of, uh-oh, was that my last novel? Is there another one left in me?
No, I didn't. I think if I had known about this if I'd consciously thought it would be 8 years before I publish another novel, I would have felt very anxious and been busy writing a novel. As it was, the time just sort of slipped by, and now I come upon this rather reproachful statement. Why haven't you been working at your novel writing 8 years? And so now I'm going to be more diligent, I think, and not do some other things.
You co-authored the screenplay of The Shining with Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
My favorite moment in the movie is in the scene where, you know, the Jack Nicholson character has been shooing away his wife, saying that he's busy, he's writing, she should leave him alone and not intrude. And he's carrying on like he's writing the great American novel. And finally, the camera shows us what he's been writing, and he has pages and pages of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yes.
And it's after we realize what he's been writing that he really starts to go mad. I've always seen that movie as a horror story about writer's block.
Yes, that was very much how I saw it, too. I don't think that that's what Stephen King intended, perhaps, but it was sort of the side of it that emerged, not only my perception of it, but probably Kubrick's, too, making his first film in several years and being preoccupied with this whole business of, you know, the artist, the blocking or flowing of creativity and so on.
Do you have another novel in the works?
Yes, I do. I'm writing a novel. I'm kind of going on with doctors. A subject that I know a lot about. And this one is, however, just set in San Francisco in a hospital.
I find it interesting that your next novel and your current novel both have doctor characters in it. Your husband's a doctor. It's
yes.
As if, you know, you're writing and you're alone in this room with your typewriter every day and you're relying on him to, like, take you to the outside world for subject matter.
Yeah. Well, in a way, that's true. I mean, I think that any woman writer would have to rely on her life as a wife or her life as a schoolteacher or her life, whatever it is, life outside the writer's room. But that's true for men writers, too. You have to, I mean, it's a negotiation between the real world and yourself and the typewriter. And if you always stayed in with your typewriter, you wouldn't have anything to write about. I think that's actually the problem with a lot of writers, that they retreat too much from outside experience. And then they can't get anything further to come.
And then there's nothing there larger than their own thoughts.
And there's nothing larger than their... Yes, exactly. And it's become so solipsistic and finally so enervating to reader and writer both.
Great. Diane Johnson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Diane Johnson, her new novel is called Persian Nights.